SHAJPI Scientific Voices.
My name is Jørn Olsen. I am professor and head of department, the Department of Agroecology at Aarhus University. So I'm leading the research into agroecological approaches that we hope will be able to transform agriculture into a more sustainable business. Agroecology has different meanings to different people and to different researchers. We, and by this I mean the department that I lead, we see agroecology as the interplay between soil, environment, and plants. And we try to develop cropping systems and management systems that make better use of interactions between plants and soil and improve the use of the natural resources, so that would be nutrients, water, light, and so on, to enhance productivity, so the production of goods, yields, and so on, of course, high quality, with as little external input as possible. In fact, at the department that I'm leading, we have set some objectives which we want to contribute to. And this is reducing nutrient losses and nutrient surpluses from our agricultural systems. It is reducing or even removing greenhouse gas emissions, so eventually we become climate neutral. And it is also phasing out the need for chemical pesticides in our cropping systems. Of course, this is not an easy task, and there will be a need for restructuring and rethinking of our cropping systems. And there's also a lot of need for new technologies to deal with many of the issues and problems we, of course, have in terms of both providing nutrients and reducing pressures from stressors such as diseases and pests. But we think we can do it. And recently, in fact, together with other universities in Denmark, developed a roadmap for how to obtain more sustainable agricultural systems. So we think we know how to do it, but there's certainly a lot of research ahead. And we think agroecology and the way we see agroecology has a big role to play here. The research that we are doing on agroecosystems aim to actually solve many of the problems that agriculture faces, because honestly, we are up against not just one issue. I know climate change is a particular strong focus at the moment, and in fact, this has been my field of research for the past 20, 30 years. But in fact, the challenges are multidimensional. So we are trying to address many of them. And first, of course, is the challenge to feed a still growing global population. So we need to enhance the yields. We also need to tighten nutrient cycles, in particular for the nitrogen, because nitrogen is one of the elements, the nutrients that contributes to most harm, both within the atmosphere, but also in water and ecosystems and so on. So we need to tighten the cycles there. We also need to protect biodiversity, both in the landscape and most likely also in our agricultural systems. So even in the soil and so on, we need to enhance the biodiversity. And particularly, we need to make the biodiversity work better for us, also in terms of protecting our crops against diseases, pests, and so on. And then finally, of course, and maybe that's currently even the most important one, is we need to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions, because agriculture is responsible for about a third of the global greenhouse gas emissions. So if you look at all of these challenges, of course, each of them are very challenging in its own, but pooling them all together, it becomes sort of massive in terms of what we're up against. But we need to think in terms of how we can reconcile all of those many challenges when we develop and explore new ways of managing our crop production systems. And this is what we're trying to do. So what I'm trying to do also within the department that I'm leading is to have people working better together so that researchers who are specialists in an area also work with people from other disciplinary areas, because we need to have that more holistic understanding of systems, cropping systems and how they work, in order to find new solutions that deliver on many of those aspects. And eventually, it's not just about the natural sciences, it's also about how we bring farmers and others on board in terms of making transitions within their cropping and farming systems. So we're also exploring this, how we can better have farmers on board, both to work with innovations, but also to make more speedy transitions of farming systems. And looking even beyond the farming systems also to at the landscape scale. So it's indeed challenging, and there's many things to be done. Eventually, of course, this is also challenging in terms of the need for speedy transitions. What I do hope is that we will be able to have that sort of interdisciplinary thinking in terms of developing cropping systems, but that we would also be able to work not just within our own department, but with other universities and even globally, more on these more complex agro-ecosystem approaches. The kind of research that we do are, of course, primarily targeted towards how farmers can transition their agricultural systems. But eventually, this also has impacts on people in general. And even we need to bring on board also consumers and citizens and so on within this transition, because even just what we eat has consequences, of course, for what farmers are producing and also how they do it. But there's also the issue of how we manage landscapes and how landscapes can also be used by people and by citizens. So there's a need also for reconciling with the general community, citizens and so on the management of our landscapes. And there is a need for better connection between consumers and what farmers do and produce and how they produce it. So a better understanding of the role of cropping systems for environment, for climate, for biodiversity, and how to develop this. I think over the past couple of decades, as people are living more and more in cities and don't have necessarily that close connection that we used to with the farming community, we've lost some of that connectedness. And we need to somehow bring this back so that farmers also get incentives, also even from consumers and citizens, with the transition that they need to do. And those incentives come both in terms of a financial reward, of course, for this, because there are costs associated with it. But it also comes in a more sort of spiritual way of being recognized, also of not just being part of the problem, but also of being part of the solution. And I think we as researchers, we have a role to play here in terms of understanding, also contributing to understanding how are those relationships between citizens and consumers and with the farming community, and also documenting and communicating how those changes in agricultural systems will need to play out and what is beneficial and maybe not as beneficial here, so that there is a better communication between farmers and the rest of the society. The residue gas project originated from an issue regarding the accuracy of the nitrous oxide emission inventories from crop residues. Crop residues contains nitrogen, and as any other nitrogen input to soil, it's a potential source of nitrous oxide emissions. But crop residues comes in many different forms, and we looked at whether there are different types of crop residues that give different emissions of nitrous oxide. And what we found actually from both looking at existing studies and new lab and field experiments was that we can distinguish really three different kinds of crop residues: the immature crop residues, the mature ones, and roots. And the particular high source of nitrous oxide emissions we get from the immature crop residues. Those are the ones that are green, above ground green crop residues. This could be grass, it could be cover crops, it could be vegetables. And we find that they typically have much more, much higher nitrous oxide emissions than the immature ones, and also higher than roots have. So we are suggesting that the emission inventories could be changed by looking into different categories of crop residues and having potentially different emission factors from those. It also has implications for how we focus our mitigation options. And we think that we should have a greater focus on those immature green crop residues when we think about reducing nitrous oxide emissions. This could be removing them. It could be adding nitrification inhibitors and so on. What we found when talking to farmers is that there's not such a current focus on this. So what we find is that there is there's need for a changed focus both within emission inventories, but also in terms of policy incentives to mitigate these emissions.